Hey mama, you're listening to the Supernatural Childbirth Mamas podcast. This is a place where we want to encourage you, edify you by bringing together moms who have experienced a supernatural childbirth. All of us got our journey on this started by reading a book called Supernatural Childbirth by Jackie Mize. It was a book written in the 1980s, but it is still impacting moms today. The fact that we are no longer under the curse of the law because of Jesus Christ, we're under the blessings of the law. So one of those curses was pain in childbirth, and we can be free from that. So us moms have come together. We've believed for that in our own births. We're bringing other moms in so you can hear those stories and hear those testimonies and be encouraged. That's why we're here. If you have a similar story, reach out to us. We would love to have you on the podcast. We also have a Facebook group. Be sure to search in groups for Supernatural Childbirth Mamas. We're there. It's a community of hundreds of women who are there to encourage each other, lift each other up, pray for each other. It's been amazing getting to know all of you. In the future, we're hoping to have more small group settings of either trainings in faith and trainings as for being a mom, or just group settings where we pray together. We're working towards that, and we're looking for leaders. If you have it in your heart to lead other women in this way, let us know. Reach out to us. If you search in the Facebook group, there's actually a form to fill out. So can't wait to dive into today's podcast. Hello, Supernatural Childbirth Mamas. This is Karen, and I'm here with Leah. Leah, are you there?
I am. Hi, Karen.
Hi, great. I'm so glad you're here. I'm excited to hear your childbirth story today. Before we jump in, would you mind telling us a little bit about you and your family?
Sure. I was born in Texas, and actually in Amarillo, where the Panhandle fires are happening right now, if anyone listens to this recently. So prayers appreciated for that area.
Yes.
But my family moved to the Charlotte, North Carolina area, my mom and my brother and I, when I was in about second grade. And so I've lived in this area my whole life since then, even including going to Winthrop University for college here in Rock Hill, South Carolina. And that's actually where I met my husband, Cal. He also happened to go to the church that I still attend, but I was attending at the time.
Yeah.
And right after we graduated from college, he entered the Air Force as an officer. So we moved around 5 times in 5.5 years.
Oh, wow.
And we had, we started our family. My first daughter, Lydia, was born. And then we decided to come back home so that we could kind of raise our family around our community here.
Yeah.
2.5 years after that, my second daughter, Ari, was born. And I have been a stay-at-home mom since I became a mom. And when my oldest daughter, Lydia, was of school age, I also became a homeschool mom. So that's what I do now. And yeah. I love it.
I love that. That's so awesome. Glad you guys are here with us, or, you know, with me, not everybody, but with me and close by now, kind of found your roots here. And that's awesome. So I will, I'm going to pray over us before we start, and then we can jump into your childbirth story. Dear God, we just lift up your name this morning, Lord, and we just thank you for who you are and for loving us, Lord. And God, I just thank you so much for this community of women who get to come together and encourage each other and just stand together and believe for everything that you have promised us, Lord. And we just step into those promises today, and we just pray blessings over the women who are pregnant right now and believing for things. We pray blessings over the women who are waiting for their positive pregnancy tests. God, we just know that you are faithful and you are good. And God, I bless Leah this morning, and I just pray, Holy Spirit, that you would lead her to just share with us everything that comes to remembrance, so that her birth story can be a testimony to others, and so that we can just see your goodness and point to your glory. And we just thank you so much for your love. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. All right. So let's start with, how did you hear about the Supernatural Childbirth book? Oh, are you still there, Leah? Let's see.
Can you hear me now?
Oh, yeah, I hear you now. Hey.
Okay. My phone screen timed out and locked, so I guess it shut down the recording. I will have to keep an eye on that.
Yes.
So I'm not 100% sure how I came across supernatural childbirth. I just know when I was pregnant with my second daughter, somehow I came across it towards the end of my first trimester. And obviously it was completely life-changing. And I think there was just a lot of buzz around, like among the women at my church at the time who were my age and starting to have kids about it. And so someone must have recommended it to me. But I bought my own copy. And then after I had my daughter, I gave it away and I kept buying more and more copies and giving them away. It's just such a powerful message. I feel like it is a huge part of the gospel for women.
Yes.
And so I'm so thrilled to be able to be a witness and share my testimony about that.
Yes. It's so amazing that you have passed it on as well as gifted it to other women. That's so beautiful. And so you heard about the book for your first pregnancy before you got pregnant the first time?
For my second pregnancy.
Gotcha. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's great. Awesome. Did you want to share anything about your first pregnancy, or would you like to just share about the second one?
Yeah, I would be happy to talk a little bit about the first and second because they are both kind of miraculous in their own ways.
Yeah.
So for my firstborn, Lydia, my husband and I had been married for 5 years, and we had always said that we wanted to start a family like around 3 or 5 years, you know, between 3 and 5 years of being married. And it ended up being towards the tail end of that because right around 3 or 4 years, he and I, his name's Cal, we weren't even sure if we were going to stay married. We were having a very difficult time in our marriage. And I already said, you know, he was in the military at the time. So he deployed to Afghanistan. And we kind of very seriously considered when he got back from that deployment, just remaining separated and pursuing divorce because we were already apart. And we didn't have any children at the time. And, but praise God, like the Lord did some significant miracles, including having my husband come back on with the American Red Cross for emergency leave to come visit his father who was in the hospital because there was some concern that his father was going to pass away and he didn't. My father-in-law is still very much alive and well with us today. But it kind of gave us this opportunity to reconnect during that deployment. And it was the catalyst for us deciding that, you know, we were going to stay married. We were going to work through it. And so just miracle after miracle. And he came back from the deployment. And shortly after he came back, we actually moved to Texas at the time, back to not the area I grew up in, but San Antonio. And that is when we felt enough security and kind of stability in our marriage again, enough healing that we were ready to go ahead and start our family. So I got pregnant right away as soon as we started trying. And it went so when my daughter was born, she felt very much like a living monument to this, this living testament that God had worked in our marriage and done so much. So we named her Lydia Elizabeth, because in the Bible, Lydia was the first recorded convert in the Bible of all of Europe.
Yeah.
And so she felt like the start of this new chapter in our lives and for our, you know, even for some of our extended family, our family line. And Elizabeth, this might have been covered at some point on this podcast before, but Elizabeth has a couple of different meanings. It can mean being consecrated to God. It's tied into God's faithfulness and also the abundance that God provides. So even her name, like we just wanted to testify that she came into the world miraculously through our marriage because we were still married. And also that God had been so faithful already to the promises that I had been, you know, just speaking over our marriage and pouring out my heart with God about and declaring. And so it was a good backdrop to know that God is faithful and that it's really powerful to praise scripture and promises over something, like
Yes.
when we're doing that in obedience to a vision he's given us.
Oh man, I'm already tearing up at that. That's so beautiful. I love that so much. Wow. Okay, so Lydia was born, and I know we talked beforehand about her birth story. Did you want to share a little bit about her birth story? Like you giving birth and everything?
So I guess I'll just go ahead and say that after Lydia was born, again, we decided to move back to the Charlotte area, and we felt really still connected to our church community and everything here. So we got plugged back into our home church, and we began leading marriage groups to help other couples who were struggling in the areas that we had been struggling in. And through all of that, you know, we had been doing a lot of deep inner work and counseling and working through some different materials. And through that process, God began speaking to our hearts, you know, really deeply about what kind of parents we wanted to be, what kind of intentional family culture we wanted to kind of bring to our family. So that was kind of in our hearts by the time we were ready to add another arrow to the quiver, so to speak. So we got pregnant right away again when we were ready to have another baby. And so that was a huge blessing. So I guess with my pregnancy with Lydia, it was kind of funny because we had just bought season passes to Six Flags, which is a theme park for our international listeners, a theme park in Texas. And I got to go once. And then that same week, I found out that I was pregnant, and morning sickness kind of hit right away.
Yes.
And obviously I wouldn't have been riding roller coasters and stuff being pregnant, but I had really intense morning sickness, and it was summertime. And so I couldn't even stand to be outside. Like, I would get ill so quickly, and dehydration was like a real threat. So I couldn't even go with our, you know, out of town guests, or just to kind of hang out and walk around with them.
Right.
And in that season too, I do have a stepdaughter, Deborah. She was about 2 or 3 years old when Cal and I met. She actually came to live with us during that time for a while. And so we had a lot of fun kind of having a, you're going to be a big sister celebration for her, and announcing that to her. And she is a really awesome big sister, but she has grown up with her mom, living with her mom. And then we get to visit with her every now and then. So I would say that having Deborah with us during that time of my pregnancy with Lydia was probably the highlight. Because the morning sickness was just so bad. But I guess another good thing about it was, because I just didn't feel well all the time, I was in bed and I was on, you know, the couch a lot, and it gave me a lot of time to read and to have those really long prayer times with the Lord and devotional times. And just to do a lot of research. I was a psychology major in college, so I just love researching things and reading all the studies. And I had one friend who 5 years prior had had an unmedicated natural childbirth. And when she told me that she was doing this, I reacted like I think a lot of Westerners do, with just I was appalled. I tried to talk her out of it. I was so worried about her. I was sure she was going to die. Like, I was just like, and she was very calm and confident with me. Even outside of spiritual faith, she was just like, look, do your research, watch this documentary called The Business of Being Born, and then tell me what you think. And so when I was pregnant with Lydia and on the couch so much, I finally got around to watching that documentary, and I was just, my eyes were opened.
And that's a great documentary.
And that was coupled with my birth appointments at the military hospital there in San Antonio. I will say for them that they did an amazing job having all kinds of free classes, budgeting car seats, breastfeeding, newborn care. Like, they had classes for everything, and I took all the classes, and great. I loved that. But this particular military hospital was serving 5 military installations, and therefore, like, when it was time for me to do the pregnancy confirmation ultrasound and then my first OB appointment, those were kind of terrible experiences. It was so impersonal. It was kind of insensitive. Like, you know, you're this military wife with no family or necessarily community around. Mm-hmm. And literally the doctor who was at the OB appointment didn't even make eye contact. There was zero connection. There was zero support there.
Wow.
So that really pushed me over the edge to pursue alternative birth options, because I felt very strongly, because my mom had had 2 C-sections, and I just knew myself being very anxious about hospitals and needles and anything medical in general, that in fact, having a hospital birth might be a more dangerous or at least prone to C-section kind of situation than not. So I did find a fantastic birth center there in San Antonio, and got connected with them right away. And that was just such a good fit. So I was able to have my baby there. My husband and I took Bradley Method birth classes, and something I love about that is how involved the father is supposed to be as the birth coach. Like, it really brings the dad along with you to learn about all the things. And even though I didn't know about supernatural childbirth yet, I am a person of faith, and so I had already been finding scriptures to meditate on and journaling and praying over the whole situation. I just didn't know that I could pray for every childbirth. So when Lydia's time to be born came along, my water actually broke on her due date, but it was a really high break. It wasn't like the big gush. So I was kind of just observed for 2 days, and then the night before, you know, the next morning, they were like, you're going to have to check into the hospital and we're going to need to induce your labor if this baby's labor doesn't start. So we were praying and asking all of our family to pray that my labor would start. And it finally did, like minutes before midnight, before that morning. And even though it was not pain-free, it was the natural unmedicated childbirth that I had been praying for. And again, it was just so beautiful to have my husband there with me and like really a part of the whole process. So
Wow, that is awesome. That's so good. Let's see.
So then we get to, I guess, Ari.
So then you found the book. I mean, that's incredible that you kind of already knew, like, you stood on your faith for Lydia's birth. Even before reading the book, you know, like that's, do you remember specific scriptures that you were standing on?
I do not, but I do have a long list of scriptures that I have these really pretty prints of that I found on, you know, Pinterest and stuff. Because something I love to do for mamas, like a birth binder for them that has printouts of these scriptures and quotes and like information for postpartum care and that sort of thing. So I would be happy to share some of them, but it's like there's not one that stands out as the most significant. The whole Bible is just so good.
That's totally true. So tell us about finding out, were you guys planning for Ari, or you know, did you space out the time intentionally? Tell us about finding out that you were pregnant with her.
So we did space out the time intentionally with her. And we, you know, with Lydia and with Ari both, I kind of, you know, I was thinking, we were thinking like, okay, it might take 3 to 6 months before we get pregnant. So we kind of planned according to that. But Ari, just like Lydia, we got pregnant as soon as we started trying, which was a huge blessing. We found out that we were pregnant. Like, we took a pregnancy test the day after we had gotten back from this really cool trip with church friends up in the mountains. We went to go see where some wild ponies roam. And so I love that in my season pass, because I kept it, my season pass photo for Six Flags, that I have these pictures and I was pregnant and I didn't know it yet. And then I have pictures of me with the wild ponies being pregnant and not knowing it yet, and carrying my little Lydia like in her little Ergo baby carrier. And so it's like a full family photo in a way.
That's so beautiful. I love that. And just like the ponies just make me think of God's beautiful design, nature. Like, I don't know, just it has that picture of God's goodness, like what he created, intended, from the start, before man interrupted it and made their own. Do you know what I mean? Like just that picture of God's creation. That's beautiful.
It's super sweet. It's kind of a little side note, but it's just something I
I
love.
love it.
Those little like moments that God gives you, just of these sweet things. So yeah, at some point in my pregnancy with Aria, I finally came across, got a copy of Supernatural Childbirth, and I was just so challenged in a good way. I think especially because even for natural childbirth, most of the resources center around pain management. And so even with that concept, like, it's great that there are other ways to manage pain besides using medication or medical procedures, but it's like it wasn't even ever mentioned as a possibility that it could be pain-free. Like, not because you were experiencing hypnosis or mind over matter, but because it literally was pain-free. So I really grabbed onto that. I love how in the book, Jackie Mize kind of encourages people to ask God for the vision of what he has for you, for your children and for your birth experiences. And if his vision for you and his promise for you is just to have a baby where you've been experiencing infertility, or to have an unmedicated birth after you've had some like a medicated hospital birth, or a VBAC after you had a C-section, whatever the vision is, to grab onto that promise and to pray into that and to speak that over the situation. I did that. I sought him and I asked him, I had a beautiful first birth experience, but what is this birth going to look like? We're in a different state, we're with a different birth center. What is it going to look like, Lord? And I really felt like he was giving me the faith to have a pain-free childbirth. And so I really began to speak that over and pray over, and in a kind of a timid way, because it just seemed so bizarre. Even though I think that I heard about this book from somewhere around church, I still don't know of anybody personally who has had a pain-free childbirth. So I felt like kind of vulnerable about it. And it was just me and my husband, my mom, and a couple of very, very close friends that I asked to pray for this with me.
Yeah, that's very wise.
But, I wanted to act on that faith. I think faith is so much more than just a wishful thought. Faith only becomes truly activated from a hope when we begin to act on what we're believing for. And so I began to prepare for, spiritually, physically, mentally, emotionally. I began to prepare for a natural childbirth for sure, but also a pain-free childbirth. But Jackie Mize also mentions in Supernatural Childbirth, like, don't come into the hospital as like the super spiritual person who's just gonna speak verses, and you're not really that prepared for it, like with any kind of backup plan, or and then you're just like screaming, and it's not a good testimony or witness to the assisting team. And so I did take that to heart too. I knew what I was praying for. I wanted to act on it, but I still, in my typical Leah way, was doing all of my research and trying to be really prepared.
Love that.
So I have to say, the rubber was meeting the road during my pregnancy because I did have really bad morning sickness again with Ari. And so that was interesting, like just this believing for a future pain-free childbirth, but still experiencing very much the same kind of trajectory that I had had with my first daughter. But I was so thankful again that I found that book, because not that I was like cursing the experience or saying anything bad or complaining a lot when I was pregnant with Lydia, because I did know, you know, that it was just such a blessing that I was going to get to be a mom. But with Ari, I was even more intentional every time I got sick to thank God that I knew I was still pregnant, and to thank God that I had a strong pregnancy, and to speak life over her, and to every time I got sick, say, this baby is a blessing, you know, to just really guard my words, not to complain about anything. At the same, you know, in the next breath saying, Lord, please deliver me from this morning sickness. You know, let this be the last time I get sick. And that was not my experience through the pregnancy, but I did have, you know, just this opportunity to keep speaking blessings over my family and my baby in a way that I don't think I would have. It was every time I got sick multiple times a day, it was like church bells ringing, reminding you to come pray.
And, I love that.
So I am thankful for that opportunity, because otherwise I would have, you know, probably just kind of coasted along and, you know.
Yeah, that's so good. I, whenever you're talking about, grab onto the vision, like ask God to give you a vision for your birth, that reminded me of Abraham, and whenever God told him to look at the stars, and he really is giving us like a picture. He gave Abraham like a picture to look at, you know, and then Abraham didn't even doubt it for 1 second. He was fully persuaded. And I whenever I was planning our family, my husband and I read that verse over and over and over, because it did take us some time to get pregnant, but I was just like, I want to have that kind of fully persuaded faith that this is our promise that we stand, you know. And like, I just encourage all the listeners and the women to really take the time to sit with God and get that vision from him. Like you said, like, that's just so beautiful. And I just, and it's so unique to each woman, you know, like each story is unique and special, and God wants to give us that vision, and for us, he wants us to grab onto it and take that action, like you said, and take those steps towards it. And even if, you know, in the natural, like you said, you're still having symptoms, you're et cetera, we can overpower our minds with our words, like our thoughts, you know, like speaking life, like you were, you know. I just think that's so good and so important to remember that, you know, we're still in the natural world, but we can tap into the Holy Spirit and just speak life over our families. I just love that. So good.
And you know, that vision, as I got further along in my pregnancy, started to take shape with other things too. You know, I started to pray for those little details, because I do believe, you know, God cares about the desires of our heart. I think supernatural childbirth talks about that too. Like if you want a certain eye color in your baby, or, you know, just different things, like to go ahead and pray for those things. Like, why not? It might not have the same kind of power behind it as like praying for the specific baby that you see that God's promised you with a certain eye color or something, but just to keep that connection and that conversation with God going, and letting him have your whole heart, and not just knowing that he knows every thought that you have, and he knows every word out of that's going to come out of your mouth before you even speak, like it says in Psalm 139, but to cultivate that intimacy by sharing those vulnerable things, those really intimate things. And so some of the things that I was praying for, in addition to a pain-free childbirth, was I was really hoping that I would get to labor in and kind of walk around this really beautiful park that we have in Charlotte that was close to the birth center. It's kind of like Charlotte's Central Park in a way, I guess. I just had this vision of soaking in God's beauty, and, you know, it would be sunset, and like, it would just be this beautiful time of me walking around and praying, and having, you know, a pain-free labor process. Mm-hmm. And then also I was really praying to be able to be assisted by one of two midwives that I had really connected with. Yeah. Because the birth center was kind of newer at the time. And, you know, during the course of my appointments, they hired, like, they over doubled their staff. And so it was a reality that somebody could be on call when it was time for Ari to be born that I hadn't really, like, met or connected with. So nice. There were two midwives that I really liked. And so I was really praying for one of them.
Yeah.
And then if it's okay for me to segue into the birth story,
totally.
I can go ahead and share how that all worked out. Yeah. So yeah.
Let's hear.
I did start having labor contractions right around Ari's due date, which kind of didn't surprise me because Lydia had been born just 2 days after her due date. But it was nighttime and it was raining. And Karen, by the time we got to the birth center, the power had been knocked out. It had turned into a thunderstorm and the power had been knocked out at the birth center. So it was not the beautiful summer evening I was envisioning.
Yeah.
And, in fact, when we got there, the midwife was like, well, I want you to go ahead and go to the hospital next door. Let's get you checked in. Let's go ahead and do your evaluation there, because if the power doesn't come back on, I'm going to have to assist you at the hospital. Yeah. So I went ahead and went to the hospital, and I was starting to have, you know, my usual kind of medical anxiety kick in. And, you know, I was still trying to be strong and hold on to those promises, but it was just very abrupt. It was so shocking. Like, what in the world? Like, yeah. I'm not going to have this baby in the hospital. Yeah. So by the time I was hooked up to the fetal monitors with the little belly band and everything, my contractions had completely stopped. And thankfully, you know, they could see Ari's heartbeat and everything, and they could tell that she looked good. Everything looked fine. But I stayed for observation for a couple of hours and my labor never restarted. And this time my water hadn't broken or anything like that. So they went ahead and sent me home. So that was just huge because, I mean, it sounds weird to pray that your labor is going to stop. I had never heard of that before either, but I certainly was. I was like, Lord, if this is not, this, I really don't believe this is the time or place that you promised me. So I'm still holding on to that promise, yeah. But your will be done. Like, I'm surrendered to it. I know you're with me, but
yeah,
this is not what I want. So I did go back home and my labor did not start again for 2 weeks.
2 weeks. Wow.
So now we're at the point where I'm overdue by 2 weeks. And now the conversations were, you know, every appointment, they're like, okay, you have 1 more week, you have 3 more days, you have 1 more day before we have to admit you to the hospital to induce your labor. Right. 'Cause the birth center just couldn't attend any births that were more than 2 weeks overdue. Yeah. So that literally the day of my last appointment before they were going to have to admit me, just like with Lydia,
yeah,
they went ahead and, you know, had hooked me up to the little belly band to see if there were any contractions and did the physical exam. And they were like, did you know that you're already 8 centimeters dilated? And I was like, I mean, no, because it's not like you're checking yourself for these things, right? Like, I was like, oh, you know, okay. And I don't think I even, like, you know, I was like, that makes sense. Like, we're getting close to having a baby. I hope something's happened, but I didn't realize I'd already made it to 8. And they were like, yeah, and your contractions are already 4 minutes apart. Didn't you realize that you're in labor already? And I was like, no, like I had no idea. I thought these were just like the Braxton Hicks. It felt very light to me. Like I could tell he was having contractions, but nothing, you know, super intense. So they were like, well, you're going to have a baby today. And I was like, awesome. So we went home and we grabbed our bags. And I was kind of more aware of the contractions now that I knew like they weren't just Braxton Hicks and kept timing them and everything. But I just still, you know, wasn't in any kind of pain. You know, it was just tightening.
Yeah.
And So I remember vacuuming the house and like just trying to get things ready because I was like, well, I'm just going to stay at home as long as I can. You know, it's fine.
While I'm in labor.
Yeah, I'm just gonna vacuum. It's fine. Then it was getting close to like about 5 o'clock, and because Charlotte is such a large urban area, we didn't want to get like stuck in traffic, and I had right. been laboring all day, so we went ahead and headed up to the birth center area just to be closer by and to not get stuck in traffic. Cause I did have a friend from my Bradley Method class in San Antonio who did have her baby in the car in a mall parking lot because they didn't make it to the birth center in time. Yeah. So I was like, just would rather be closer. And because of that, we were in the area that I did get to go to the park that I wanted to labor, like to be in, to walk in while I was in labor. And it was like sunset, getting kind of that twilight dusk time.
Oh my goodness.
Beautiful. And it was really funny because this, I don't know if it's like still a big deal, but 7 years ago, the Pokemon Go game had come out. And so there were all of these people in the park. This is a game that's like virtual reality where I guess I've never played it, but
yeah, me neither.
You kind of scan an area and you see a virtual character to interact with. And so there were people all over the park who were like stopping in random places and looking at their phones and just like, it was so funny to me because here's this lady, this, you know, hugely pregnant lady walking around, and every couple of minutes I would stop when I felt the contraction and kind of like rock. And, you know, I'm just thinking like, let's open up and get this baby walked out. And nobody paid any mind. Like they did not notice at all because they were just glued to their phones. And
so funny. So
oh my gosh. I had this, even though it was kind of crowded, I still felt very like it was just me and the Lord and sunset, and there were swans and beautiful ducks on the pond. And
oh my goodness.
It was just beautiful. Glorious. Like it was exactly what I wanted. And then, it was dinner time and I still didn't feel like it was time to go in. So we went to Target and I was walking around the baby clothes thinking like, I hope I don't have my baby in the baby section at Target. And we bought some little balloons, like happy birthday balloons, because we knew it would be closed.
Yeah.
But we were just killing time because it's like, oh my goodness, like it's still not time. So we ended up going back home again after like the rush hour traffic had cleared out, and I decided to go ahead and try and get some sleep. And then about 11:30, my contractions still were not painful, but they were just powerful and distracting. Like it woke me up and I couldn't sleep through it anymore. And then I knew like, okay, now we are like super close. So we headed back up to the birth center. I got back in the tub almost right away and kept laboring in the tub until it must have been like an hour or so. It was pretty short. My water broke in the tub and there was a little bit of meconium staining. So I had to get out of the tub right away. Mm-hmm. And immediately, this is the only painful part of my birth story. Immediately I was in transition and she was crowning, and three pushes, like right out of the bathtub, three pushes. And I had Ari in my arms. And because I was kind of, they had helped me onto the birth stool right out of the tub. I was in that seated position, and so she latched on and started nursing right away.
Beautiful.
And that was kind of funny because the midwives were like, oh wow, like we have never seen a baby start nursing so vigorously right away. I do think partially it was her name and what I had been speaking over her to be like so strong and vigorous right away. But also, you know, she was 2 weeks overdue and she was a hungry baby.
Right, totally. So her name means strength, Ari?
It does. So while I was pregnant with her, even though I didn't have a specific verse, like about the labor or delivery, I was asking God like who this child was and what we should name her. We wanted to be just as intentional about that as we were with Lydia. And during that time, because again, this was 7 years ago now, but I feel like it's still very relevant because we still live in this broken world. There was a lot of violence you know, there were a lot of protests and kind of mob activity going on around racial tensions in the nation. We had just had a really intense election. There had been some terrorism in France. It was just the sort of thing, and all really close together, that I think lots of people who had a family during this time, you know, it's kind of crossing our minds, like, what kind of world are we bringing our children into? Like, God, I totally believe that every child that you bring to earth, they're going to be born for such a time as this. But
absolutely.
Mm-hmm. What, you know, I don't even know, like, maybe I regret having kids. Maybe it would have been better not to bring them into a world like this. But he just, Philippians 2 verses 12 through 16, it says, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill his good purpose. So that spoke to me that God had given me a burden and a vision and a desire to have kids.
Mm-hmm.
That was his will. And so I didn't need to doubt, like, maybe I shouldn't have done that.
Right.
And then it continues with, do everything without grumbling or arguing, so that you may become blameless and pure, children of God, without fault in a warped and crooked generation. Then you will shine among them like stars in the sky as you hold firmly to the word of life. And that's from the NIV translation.
Mm-hmm.
And that just gave me so much confidence that God has a specific team in mind for every season and generation of life on earth, that, you know, that he is calling them for such a time as this. And it refers to stars in that verse. And that kind of reminded me that the name Esther means little star. And so, so we, you know, with her story and being born for such a time as this, and that scripture talking about stars and being called to a certain generation for a reason,
mm-hmm.
We decided to name her Esther. So that is her first name.
Okay.
Her nickname and the name that we call her by is Ari, and that's a nickname for the name Arabella. And I actually came across the name Ari first. It means lion. And I had been looking for a name that meant something like really strong, because whereas my Lydia, when I was pregnant with her, she has been very like dainty and calm and demure from the start. Like, even when we did our gender appointment to see if she was a boy or a girl, she had her little legs crossed, like her ankles crossed. And so we were not able to see that day, like, if she was a boy or a girl, and we wanted to find out. So we had to come back for another appointment later, because she just would not move. She was like so modest and ladylike. So in contrast to that, Ari was just like, she would kick me so hard. Like, I could not believe, you know, like, so I wanted some kind of really, you know, a name that meant really strong and vigorous. And I loved lion.
Yeah,
but I didn't want to name her just Ari, and I came across this name Arabella.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of like these old-fashioned names, and Arabella means yielded to prayer. But it also, like, if you just take the root words, it also means like lion, Ari in the beginning, and Bella, beautiful. So kind of this image of this beautiful, strong lioness.
Oh,
and
I love that.
You know, we had, when I was growing up, I had heard this African proverb that the daughter of a lion is also a lion. And so I wanted to speak that over her, that she was a child from the tribe of the Lion of Judah, and she was also going to have that powerful inheritance through Jesus. But I also loved that it said yielded to prayer, because again, through my morning sickness, I prayed for this child so much.
Yeah.
And really had to be, I had to yield myself to that process of prayer, because I continued to experience that morning sickness. So it just seemed like, again, like God is in the details, and I felt like he brought us this name. And so we named her Esther Arabella, but we call her Ari. And one other fun little tidbit about that, Karen, is that when we found out we were pregnant, we did take a picture to post on Facebook. For the listeners, Karen and I talked about a little bit about before recording how I don't have social media anymore, but at the time I did. So we wanted to post, you know, a cute birth announcement, and we took a picture of my husband and me and my daughter Lydia on a, like a rug, and it's like from a bird's eye view above our heads, and we're all reading books because we love to read. We all love to read. And to represent the new baby coming, we had this tiny little, probably like 2 or 3 inches by 2 or 3 inches board book that we put in the picture to represent like a little baby book and a little baby coming. And the title was, you know, something like Another Reader is Joining the Queeners or something like that. And I didn't give that any thought until a little bit after Ari was born. We had, you know, pulled those board books out again. And I realized that the little board book, it was like a series of nursery rhymes. Like they were all a little nursery rhyme, like maybe 8 books or something. The one we had chosen for that birth announcement picture was Twinkle, Twinkle, Little Star. And so, you know, here it is a couple of weeks later after Ari's born, and we come across this book again, and I'm like, God totally knew. You know, from the very beginning, we did that picture before I even knew I was having a girl, before, you know, before anything.
I love that so much. Wow, I just love hearing your intentionality with your daughters and your family and your prayer life. Like, that's just so, they are lucky to have you as a mama, for sure. That is so, so beautiful. Oh, Esther Arabella, that is so pretty. And Lydia Elizabeth, very pretty names. And I love that. So how was the postpartum time for you?
With both of them, I don't have anything super eventful to share, praise God. You know, breastfeeding went really well with both of them, and I didn't have any postpartum depression. That was something that I specifically was praying for with both of them, that I wouldn't suffer from that, because I just kind of had in my head that was pretty likely. It's been pretty typical in my family. And also, I suffered with medical depression at least twice. Once after I, you know, as a young adult, and another time as a teenager. So I just felt like that was, you know, a reality. But because of that, anticipating that, I was always praying against that, and praise God, I didn't experience that. The only kind of quirky thing, I guess, was that with both of them, after I had them, I had a lot of extra bleeding in the afterbirth. And so both times I kind of had to stay for a little bit longer, extra observation. It wasn't from tearing. It was just, I think what happened is that both times my placenta was really, really big. And I think that just that much surface area from the placenta detaching from the uterine wall had a lot of extra bleeding. So thankfully I didn't need anything extra other than with both of them, I had to have a little bit of Pitocin after my birth to kind of get those contractions really strong and closing that up so that I would stop bleeding. So it wasn't like super fun, but when you have your newborn baby, it's all just kind of like, whatever, I don't care. I have this beautiful baby.
You're like, just hurry up and get out.
Yeah.
You know what we need to do, but let me just snuggle my baby and I'm happy. And so that's, you know, that's a great example where the medical team is so valuable. You know, like there is a place for it, but you know, I just, with what we're talking about in God's design, I think that's what the path that most of us are on now is great. But we're thankful for when we do need the medical team, you know.
100%
That's so great. Oh my goodness. So did you read anything else or listen besides the Bible and besides the Supernatural Childbirth book? Did you read anything else during your pregnancies? Or I know you said with Lydia you were doing a lot of reading, but just like preparing and such. Any resources that you would recommend?
So again, when I had Lydia, she just turned 10 like 2 weeks ago. So we're talking about 10 years ago. And even more so than 10 years ago, I felt like a lot of the resources were limited. Like it just wasn't a thing. now I don't know if it's just the kind of community I'm drawn to or how it's kind of like a social domino effect that if you see one friend who can do it, then you're more likely to try. And then
right.
you know two friends who are more likely to try. But I, most of the resources I was, you know, really careful about because I felt like they had a little bit of a new age slant or like there were just some things I felt a little uncomfortable about the approach with. But I did. So, you know, I'm saying recommend in like air quotes, but the book Birthing from Within meant a lot to me. I think because while it had some stuff that was a little uncomfortable for me or that I didn't agree with, it has a lot of like journaling exercises and activities to kind of think about birth. And the Lord did use that with Lydia for me to just have, well, no, I guess I didn't know. I don't remember the timeline. I'm sorry. For sure with Ari, there are a lot of like journaling prompts and stuff in that. If you've had a prior birth experience that did not go according to plan, to kind of process that and heal from that. And I think women are likely to downplay how intense birth can be. And even though it's beautiful and it's joyful, I don't think there's anything more intense you can experience.
Totally, I agree. Yeah.
And so I hesitate to call it like traumatic because if it was good, like my birth with Lydia was really good. There's not a lot I can complain about, but it was almost like a trauma in that it was just so intense and there was a lot for me to process there. It's a really emotional event and nothing can fully prepare you for it. Even though I didn't have like deep regrets or pain about it. So I just wanted to process that with the Lord and allow him to kind of change my expectations. You know, the Bible does say that we have to renew our mind with his word. And I know supernatural childbirth asks us to do that too. And I come across this book before supernatural childbirth, but that was kind of the beginning of starting to process that and to renew my mind and know that even though that was my first birth, it didn't have to be the same way the second time. And to, you know, sometimes like little things might creep in where you're like, I coulda, shoulda, woulda, I wish this or that about the birth. And just to kind of like, if there's anything to grieve over, to allow yourself to grieve over that and to let the Lord heal that and bring a new place in your heart for a new vision and a new baby. So
that's such a good point. Cause I think, I mean, it, probably 90% of women, definitely like it's our first time we can only plan and expect and envision so much because we've never done it before. And you know, like I think a lot of women have stories where they wish they would have done something differently, or you know, and even if it is a beautiful story like yours where mom and baby were healthy, like there was no like traumatic things, it's still, that's such a good resource and just a good idea to do in general, to let yourself be with the Lord and just like talk about that time with him, like that experience, so that your heart can be healed and I love that, your mind renewed. Definitely, especially before walking through childbirth again, just so that nothing pops up that you weren't, you know, expecting, so you can fully step into the vision that God has for your next birth. And
right.
Yeah, that's a very valuable lesson. That's good.
And kind of,
sorry, go ahead.
I was just going to say, and kind of for mamas like me who may have had prior birth stories where if you've heard other stories that are more dramatic or where things really didn't go according to plan, you know, you might feel like, well, my birth compared to that was perfect. Like, what do I have to grieve or complain about? But, you know, you probably still do. And maybe you don't want to share that with a friend who's been really struggling with infertility or who had an emergency C-section or whatever, but between you and the Lord, it is okay again to take those really intimate, vulnerable things to him. And
that's such a good point. And I think women can definitely fall into, well, mine wasn't that bad, so what do I have to complain about? But
yeah,
you know, it matters the way that women feel, you know, God cares about how you feel about it. So thank you for saying that. That's such a good point.
And then other than that, I mean, I don't know what all is available these days or whatever, but my husband and I really did appreciate the Bradley Method birth classes. So it was really
Awesome.
fun to be in a class with other couples and kind of have the Q&A with a doula and all of this stuff, other than just reading the book, because I honestly didn't get a lot out of the book, but I'm a very social person, and so having that community aspect and that conversational aspect, I just really loved. And that did help me a lot with my first birth with Lydia, kind of knowing, even though I was experiencing a lot of pain, like how to handle that, how to reposition myself or move. Something I didn't know was that midwives are not doulas. And I think I was expecting the midwives attending at that time to kind of give me more advice or like tell me to try different things and coach me a little bit more. And they really didn't. They were pretty hands off, even though they were fantastic. And so thank God, like if my husband and I hadn't known some of that stuff and he hadn't kind of trained himself and prepared himself to be my birth coach, I do think I could have had a different experience where I would have needed to transfer to the hospital. But we were able to work through it, and so that was great. And that I meant to say, Karen, the other sweet thing about Ari's birth, little side thing, was that the two midwives who attended that birth, that team, were the two midwives that I had prayed for. So that's another little praise while I'm thinking about it.
Oh, God is
So it
so good
wasn't
for
even
them.
just like one of them and someone else. It happened to be those two. So that was great.
So good. Thank God. Oh my gosh, I love that. Yes, I think doulas are a great team member to have too. I wish that I would have had a doula for my first birth. That's a good point as well. That's just, I love how your husband partnered with you, and like that's beautiful, especially hearing your marriage story. And then like I bet that was just so, and I bet it just brought you so close together. Like I'm just envisioning that. So good. God is so good. So I have the Birthing from Within book and the Bradley Method classes written down. Great. Do you have any final thoughts for our listeners today?
I have been thinking about this, and I think, on the spiritual side, I just want to remind all of our friends that God is so good, no matter what circumstances you find yourself in, because I'm so thankful that I have never experienced infertility. I never had a miscarriage. Centering around birth and having children, all of my prayers have been answered. But there are other areas in my life, with some health stuff and, prior to having children in my marriage, where things were really hard. And I always clung to just reminding myself that God is faithful. He is literally incapable of breaking his promises. And so it's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when, whenever he gives you a promise or whenever you find promises in the Bible. And to just grab onto that with your whole heart and with faith, even if you're disappointed. A season of disappointment now doesn't predict a season of disappointment in the future. And so, if what you're experiencing right now isn't good, then you can be assured that it's not the end. Because God never lets our stories, when He's our children, come to the end in a bad place. With that being said, we know from Hebrews that there were lots of faithful followers who did not experience the fruition of the promises until after they had passed on to heaven. But the point is, God still kept his promises. So we here on earth, we might not see the full fruition of that, but we are still called to be obedient, to pray into, and to claim those promises. Because if we don't, then we're missing an opportunity to see those promises fulfilled here or after we're in eternity. So that's encouraged me. Again, my husband and I have become really passionate about family legacy, and about an intentional family culture, to even now be not just praying for my children, but praying for my grandchildren, praying for future generations, if we didn't have children, I would want to be praying for our spiritual children and their families and their our legacy through them, inheritance through them. Because I know, for example, my mom was praying for my husband and my brother's wife from the time that we were being born, from the time that we were even born. And it just so happens that both my husband and my brother's wife, my sister-in-law, they were both born premature and almost didn't make it.
Wow.
And so I really feel like even my mother's prayers from all the way back then was speaking life over our families and seeing God's faithfulness and answered prayers in that we even got to meet our spouses and marry them.
Yes.
So, so I think that's just important. Like, keep believing in God's goodness and faithfulness and keep praying for and declaring promises, not just for your current circumstances, but into the future and the legacy as well.
Yes. Oh, I love that. Yes. It's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when. That's so good. Ah, oh, love it. Thank you so much, Leah, for sharing all of this. And it has made me want to give birth again. So, like, I'm so excited. Yeah.
Like, okay, God, what are you going to do next?
Right? Yes. It's so good. And I just love how you carried out God, like you're saying, like you just your family legacy and how you're so intentional. And you know, it starts with, you know, conception, and or even before that, it starts with prayers before conception. And then, you know, but it you keep on, like you keep on stepping into God's, what does God have for me now that I'm a mother and for my child? And you know, just keep seeking him to give him, to give you a vision and to grab hold of it. That's just so such a good reminder and a way to walk out motherhood in a supernatural way, you know, like God wants to give us a supernatural childbirth, and even more, he wants to give us a supernatural motherhood and just be give us that abundant life, you know.
Yeah.
So it's so beautiful. Oh, I just love it. So for those listening, Leah and I talked before. She doesn't have social media, like she said, but if anyone would like to reach out to her, you can connect with me, and I'd be happy to connect you with Leah. She is definitely full of wisdom, as y'all can tell after listening to this podcast. Again, Leah, we're just so thankful to have had you on and to hear your stories about your beautiful daughters. And would you mind just praying over the women before we sign off? And would you pray also specifically over marriages? I just feel like you have a special anointing for that too. So if you wouldn't mind praying.
I would love to. Thanks, Karen.
Yeah.
Well, Father, I just lift up Karen and her family and every single person who comes to listen to this podcast at whatever point that is, that you see into each of their stories. You are Elroy, the God who sees. And so you see into every heart, every mind, and all of the secret thoughts. You see into every marriage, every background. And you have a plan and a purpose for it all. So Lord, I pray that you would reassure each listener right now of your presence, that you are near. And would you speak to them in the ways that they can hear and understand, in their language, their intimate language? Would you reveal yourself as at work in their circumstances, whatever it is they're believing for? Father, assure them, remind them, bring them to the right scriptures, put the right words in friends and encouragers' mouths to remind them of your goodness and your promises in their life. I just rejoice already in your faithfulness and all of the testimonies that are going to come forth from this podcast, from the supernatural childbirth ministry of just witnessing and testifying to tell the truth, the whole truth and nothing but the truth about you. And that is that you're good. Mm-hmm. And that Jesus, you came to bring healing and restoration and to break every curse. So that includes the curse of pain in childbirth, but also just complete healing and redemption, including in marriages. Father, if there are any marriages that are suffering right now, or that are just still kind of in the aftershocks from things that have happened, little places that haven't fully healed, little places that have been covered or are coming to the surface about each mama's own childhood and parents, being an experience, having experiences as children, for all of that, with your heart for marriage and your heart for family, Father God, we come into agreement with that. And I speak life over them. I speak blessing and favor and your restoration and your peace over them. Would you bring healing to it all? You say that you have a record of every tear that we cry, so not one of them is wasted. And you promise to bring all of our mourning into joy and all of our ashes into beauty. Bless these women with your crown of thanksgiving and your healing balm, Father, so that they go forth in joy. And just bless them with so much peace and vision. Give them a vision in places that they're even afraid to hope. And I just pray also for extraordinary intimacy with you, that these ladies, wherever they're at in their spiritual journey, their hearts would be open even to a new level with you, to hear you speak and to be willing to share with you. It's in your precious name, Jesus, that we celebrate and we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much, Leah. Thank you so much for being on today. And we pray blessings over your family. And thank you again. It was so great to talk with you. And I hope you enjoy the rest of your day.
Thanks, Karen. It was such an honor. Look forward to hearing from y'all soon.
Yes. Thank you, Leah. Bye.
Bye.